On episode 457 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Tracy Gappin and discuss his book, Male 2.0, Cracking the Code to Limitless Health and Vitality. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/457. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Are you struggling to get results from your exercise and diet, spinning your wheels, or maybe you just really don't know where to start, but you want to start? The pandemic has made it clear we can't afford to not do something to improve our health. In fact, a recent study showed that obese people spend over $1,400 more per year on medical care and prescriptions. I'm here to help. I've helped hundreds of people over 40 lose weight and get more fit with 40 Plus Fitness online personal training. And now it's your turn. When you're over 40, you need to train smart and eat smart if you want to shed the weight and get stronger. Through the monthly group coaching call, the monthly one-on-one coaching call, and the 40 Plus Fitness app, I'll guide you step by step so you get results fast and learn how to keep it off. I'm so confident in 40 Plus Fitness online personal training that I offer a 40-day money-back guarantee. You won't find another personal trainer or wellness coach that does that. I take all the risks because I know I can help you. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/start and get started today. That's 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/start. In honor of Veterans Day, I'm offering a 20% discount on 40 Plus Fitness group training to all veterans with the coupon code VETERAN. This offer will be valid into the end of November. 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/start. Raz, how you doing? Hey.
Good, Alan. How are you today?
I'm doing a little better. They finally gave us our Saturdays back.
Yay.
They changed their mind and said the islands could have their Saturdays. And everybody's speculating that, you know, they were afraid if we got more days available to us than other people, that those people would just travel here to spend their weekends. And they don't really want people doing that. But they did decide to give us the weekend back, which was really nice because I was able to go in and get a good long walk in, see parts of the island I haven't seen yet because I just haven't been up that way that far. But I found my limit. I found my spot. I was not going to be able to probably go much further than that because 4 hours and 5 minutes on your feet is it's a lot.
That's a long day. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting out and got a lot of sunshine and a beautiful day in the jungle and the cows. Some nice cows got free and we're walking down the road, just looking around.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah. So it was just interesting all around. What have you been up to?
Probably the same thing, actually. Over the weekend, I did two long runs. I told you I was going to get back to double digits, and I did. And I did some long runs over the weekend, so today's kind of a rest day.
Good, good. Rest days are good. Today's kind of a rest day for me, too. I had a lot going on and just didn't really have time to put in a good... it's weird. I don't like getting out walking if I can't do 2 hours.
I understand that. I do understand that.
If I can't get to a part of the island that's just gorgeous, then it's like it's just not as much. It's not as much fun. So, and it doesn't. It's not that it takes me 2 hours. It's just once I get to about the 45-minute part, 45 to 50 minutes, that's when I start hitting the prettier beaches. And so, it's at that point I don't really want to turn around. Mm-hmm. But I do sometimes, but, because I know once I get that next mile in, the beaches will just get that much prettier. So it's really hard for me to pull it back in, but rest day today and I'll hit it tomorrow.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. So let's introduce our guest. Our guest today is a world-renowned men's health and performance expert, professional speaker, entrepreneur, and author. He has over 20 years of experience focused on providing Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, entrepreneurs, and athletes a personalized path to optimizing their health and performance. With no further ado, here's Dr. Tracy Gappin. Dr. Gappin, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Hey, Alan, thanks so much for having me today.
So the name of your book is Male 2.0, Cracking the Code to Limitless Health and Vitality. And, you know, I think everybody aspires to be a better version of themselves, but we don't always have the tools or the know-how to get there. And I guess as you wrote this book, and it's something that's been kind of top of mind for me, is that you just at the very beginning of the book kind of just grab us by the coat collar and say, damn it, grow up, man. You know, talking about COVID-19 and all the things that we're going through right now. Now more than ever, men have to start paying attention to their health.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, I use the term male 2.0 as really a contrast to what men have done up until now, and that is male 1.0. And you and I spoke briefly before we started about how men don't typically go to the doctor until there's something wrong, or their wife is nagging them, or there's an acute problem, like they have a disease, a kidney stone, a cancer, something, or more commonly when they start to have some issues with their sexual function, sexual health concerns. And so what Male 2.0 is all about is really shifting the mindset of men to focus on proactively optimizing their health before disease sets in. And we could talk about how we do that in a moment, but the key is to understand that guys need to take control, take charge, own their health, and do something about it in a proactive way before it's too late. And that's what Male 1.0 is waiting until disease sets in. Male 2.0 is being proactive and taking charge.
Yeah, because our current healthcare system is designed for sick care. It's not really designed for healthcare. But, you know, that's one of the cool things that I've noticed that's changed in the last, probably about the last 10 years, is there's a higher emphasis on well care. There's more opportunities than ever for a man to go in and talk to a doctor and start doing protocols that are going to get them healthier.
Sure, exactly. And you know, we can call that preventive medicine. We can call it functional medicine. We can call it, personalized precision medicine. But it's really about optimizing yourself and optimizing your whole human system. You know, men think that all they need is testosterone because that's what's kind of drilled into your head from all these T clinics that are on every corner now. And the key is to understand that if we're going to optimize our health and have amazing energy and feel confident in how we look and feel, you have to go well beyond testosterone and focus on, you know, stress, which is a big issue right now with COVID, especially sleep, quality of sleep. Almost every man I see has struggles with poor quality and or quantity of sleep. Nutrition, you know, what should you eat and when should you be eating it? Looking at our detox and our body's ability to clear toxins, our environment, our fitness, our mindset is a big part as well. You and I spoke briefly before about, you know, limiting beliefs. And so it's putting all these pieces together into what we call a systems-based approach, or call it a comprehensive approach. Or it's really looking at the whole human system as a complex network of different parts. And you have to focus on all of it or else you're wasting your time.
Yeah, I think that's, that's unfortunately the approach I think a lot of us will take. You know, well, we'll go out there and say, okay, well, I need to exercise. So we go out and we get some shoes on and we get out and we start doing the jogging and we just don't see the change. You know, the knees hurt, the ankles hurt. I'm all hot and sweaty now. I take a shower and I can feel good about that, but I didn't really change my health significantly. And so it almost seems a little too hard. And then, you know, you had it in a book, and I actually saw it on one of the YouTube channels that you had a speech on, that you were just talking about how low T has just become this epidemic thing that men are dealing with. So, you know, yeah, obviously, if they know that that's probably the problem, you know, fatigue, you know, you're lethargic, you don't have any energy, things aren't working the way they're supposed to be working. Yeah. You're not sleeping. Right. You're not gaining muscle. You're losing muscle. You're putting on body fat. All those things we know that testosterone helps us not have a problem. I was just shocked when you can say that, you know, free testosterone, a male now at a given age has 45% less free testosterone than we did 15 years ago. That's crazy. We're becoming women.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we could talk about, you know, the causes of it, but make no mistake about it, that testosterone levels in men are plummeting. Free testosterone, which is the bioavailable form of it, is even worse. And that's causing all the I shouldn't say necessarily causing, it's a big part of all the health issues that men are experiencing now. And the mistake is what you just mentioned, is to think that, well, if I just go get a testosterone shot, that solves the problem. And I can't tell you how many men, Alan, I see on a daily basis who come in and they're getting testosterone shots from the place down the street, you know, $45 every 2 weeks gives them a shot, and they still feel like crap. And I'll be like, well, you know, what are you doing for your sleep and your stress? And do you know what you should be eating based on your genetics? And well, the answer is no, 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 and no. And so it's understanding that as massive a problem as low testosterone has become, if you don't address the underlying causes of it and the other co-founding variables as well, then you're not going to get the success that you're looking for.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to, you know, you had the four components of male 2.0. Could you kind of go through those? Because I think it's really important to understand that this is like we've been talking about. It's not just one thing. It's there's not a magic pill or a magic shot that's going to solve right. this problem for us.
Yes.
But there's a holistic approach that we really have to consider.
Exactly. Yeah. So over the last 20 years, really, I have formulated this process that I use, that I've now coined the male method, as my approach to help men focus on the key pieces of optimization that they need. And so M is mindset, A is aging, L is lifestyle, and E is environment. So M, looking at mindset, I focus, you know, first and foremost on your why. Your why is what drives you, what gets you up in the morning, what keeps you up at night, what is your motivation? You know, you're never going to turn things around and get optimized because your wife is nagging you. Because, you know, just because you want to lose 10 pounds just for the hell of it. No, my wife, for example, is my kids. Those beautiful little kids of mine are my everything. And everything I do is to create a better life for them. And that drives me every day more than anything else, more than any other superficial details. So the key is with mindset, focus on your why. What is your why? And don't ever leave sight of that. Don't ever let that go. Number two is, you know, eliminating limiting beliefs. You know, we talk a lot about how guys think that they can't change, that they're too old to change, or they'll never lose weight, or they'll never have the energy they have when they're a 20-year-old. Those are all just lame limiting beliefs that we need to overcome. On mindset, also focus on stress mitigation, you know, understanding stress and accepting stress and being able to put it in its place, put it aside and move on with your life and not let it affect you at a physiologic basis. So I focus on mindset techniques, breathing techniques, mindfulness practices like meditation to help with mindset. A is age, addressing the etiologies of aging. This is where I really focus on hormones. You know, testosterone is just one piece of the whole picture. You have to look at thyroid and cortisol and estrogen and DHEA and melatonin. You know, the list goes on. There's about 8 or 9 different hormones that I focus on. And all those are associated with the root cause of aging. We look at, you know, glucose regulation. We know that long-term blood sugar regulation, insulin sensitivity is the medical term for it, has been correlated with obesity and mortality as well. So regulating those sorts of things. L, lifestyle. This is where we focus on the basics of, you know, nutrition and fitness and sleep. And there are, of course, you know, generic recommendations like nutrition. I really emphasize the benefits of intermittent fasting or time-restricted feeding. But there's also genetics. You know, we can talk a lot about your epigenetics, how by understanding your genetic blueprint, we can really dial in on exactly what you should be doing, Alan, which may be different than the guy next to you and then the guy next to him. And so it's really personalizing it with genetics can take this to the next level as well. And then finally, E is exposures. You know, endocrine disruptors are chemicals and toxins in our environment, which are crushing our health, causing obesity, autoimmune disease, crushing our hormones. And so mitigating exposure to these toxins, as well as improving our body's ability to handle them, is the E of environment. So that's the male method.
Okay. And I think one of the core of that, yeah, it's a very holistic thing. And, you know, one of the areas I want to dive into is the limiting beliefs, because I think many of us will sit there and we'll say, well, you know, my father was obese, and then he had a heart attack when he was 57. My mother was obese, and then this happened, which is not actually true. I'm just saying in someone's sure. head. Mm-hmm. but, you know, we feel like we're on a track, you know, we're on a train track, and we're yeah. going at the same speed that our parents went, and we're going to the same destination. And while it is true, we're going to the same destination eventually. If we believe we're going there faster, we are. Mm-hmm. I think it was it Ford that said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
Exactly.
Can you talk about these limiting beliefs and some things that we can do as a practice to kind of get past them?
Absolutely. Yeah. So limiting beliefs are exactly what you said. They are ingrained beliefs that really form the basis of your behavior and your emotions. And these beliefs are wrong. So one of them, you know, you brought up the concept of genetics and how if my parents die young from heart disease, or if my mom had breast cancer, that means I'm going to get it as well. And I'm destined to die early. And from that perspective, you know, that's just epigenetics, where we know that your genes are not your destiny. And we now understand the concept of epigenetics, which means that our actions, our lifestyle, our behaviors, and what we do, how we eat, how we move, even how we breathe and how we think, it's amazing, affects the expression of our genes. And so, you know, people talk about the BRCA1 gene, for example. Did you know that lifestyle has a massive impact on whether that BRCA gene is going to cause a woman to have breast cancer or not? It's not just the gene alone. You need the lifestyle and the environmental factors as well. And so it's understanding that's a limiting belief, that just because your parents were ill or died early, that you will as well. But a lot of it also is really just psychological. You know, we in general tend to think negatively, think the worst, have you know, limiting thoughts of our capabilities and what we're able to achieve. And we need to get beyond that. We need to understand the limitless potential is the phrase that I like to really emphasize that we all have. We all have a limitless potential if you will recognize it and pursue it. And I can show you men who are in their 80s who are incredibly healthy, who decades ago were on death's door, and they made a decision. They made it's called living with intention, I call it, where you live with specific intention, laser focus on your goals, and you don't ever lose sight of that. And so a lot of that is psychological, understanding that these negative thoughts are nothing more than negative thoughts and that you can overcome that. It comes down to the power of positivity and living with intention. And again, what's the underlying foundation for all that? What is your why?
Yes. Yeah. When I got into all this, I was on the wrong path. And my why was that, you know, I was not going to be a part of my daughter's life as long as I needed to be. I want to be around to help her. And she was getting into things that reminded me of who I was when I was her age. You know, she was mm-hmm. doing the CrossFit and the obstacle course races. And I was like, you know, I really want to go there with her. I want to be a part of that. She wanted me to go watch. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be a spectator in your life. I'm going to be a participant. Mm-hmm. And that was the spark I needed to get in the gym, to start moving more, to start yeah. learning how to eat, to start working on my sleep and my stress, and build the body that could do a Tough Mudder with my daughter, who was 25 years younger than me. And the other thing was, I didn't want her dragging me behind her or slowing down. I wanted to be there with her the whole way. And the joy of that was the reward. You know, there's not a food reward or anything I threw at myself afterwards saying, oh, well, now I can go off of this. It was this, I just got the best gift of finishing this Tough Mudder with my daughter. And when you have that kind of passion behind what you're doing, yeah. like you said, you can overcome anything. I, you know, Wow. We ran through electricity. They're shocking us with electricity as we were trying to finish this race, and people were face planting left and right, and we just ran straight through it because I was just so pumped about that moment with my daughter. So yeah, I agree. If you believe, it'll happen. And you have, and if you've got that why built behind it, then by absolute sureness, you'll get where you want to go.
Yeah. What a great story. That's a perfect example, Alan. I love that, of how that drives you to achieve something that you would never, ever achieve if you're doing it just for the sake of doing it, or because someone's telling you to do it, or something that doesn't have emotion behind it. You know, I see guys every day who say, yeah, I want to lose 10 or 15 pounds. Well, why? Well, yeah, I just want to have a smaller waist size, or I want to have smaller. No, bullshit. That's not why. The why is the emotional driving force behind it. For you, it's that amazing experience with your daughter that you can't put a price on that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
For me, it's my kids. Same thing. For a lot of guys, it's to actually feel loved by their partner. And they want to feel attractive to their partner. And that provides them fulfillment and an emotion that's very important to them. That's what's going to drive them. It's not, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. It's the emotional underpinning that we need to focus on.
Yes. And, you know, one of the interesting things, I just had Amanda Thebe on last week, and we were talking about menopause. And one of the things that she brought up was that when a woman's estrogen starts going out of whack in perimenopause, then they also, the oxytocin goes down. And that's the love and bonding. And so in many cases, we're getting to this midlife point. Our testosterone is crap. Their estrogen is crap. And now there's a conflict between us, and we don't have the bonds sometimes to make it through there. So, you know, I can definitely see a situation where you're saying what's happening to me and what's happening to my wife is not working. And I do want to feel that love again. I do want to have that thing. Right. And a lot of that's going to come from what you can control, which is yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Let's Get Checked. I typically get blood labs done 3 to 4 times per year, and I've dreaded it every time. It's time consuming, expensive, and now I have to worry about why other people might be in the same waiting room with me. Let's Get Checked has a brilliant model for getting lab work done from the comfort of your own home. You order the tests you want, and they send you the testing kits with full, easy-to-understand instructions. You get your sample send it to them with the prepaid shipping label provided. Their labs are CLIA approved and CAP accredited, which is the highest accreditation available. But what I love most about their approach is how you can order just the tests you want. Full labs can get very expensive. With Let's Get Checked, you pick and choose the labs you want, and as a result, you pay less. Cholesterol, hormones, PSA, vitamin deficiency, CRP, thyroid, they have them all, but you only pay for the tests you want. No setting a doctor's appointment, going to the doctor, finding a local testing lab, if your hometown even has one, setting another appointment, getting the sample drawn, and waiting. With Let's Get Checked, you'll have your results probably before you could even get in to see your doctor. A physician will review your results, and if there's anything going on, they have nurses that you can talk with. It's a really cool process. Let's Get Checked makes it easy for anyone to get professional testing and consultation from the comfort of their home. If you're trying to improve your health, you need measurable goals. Blood work is the best health marker you can use to know if you're on track. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/LGC and use the code ALLAN20. That's ALLAN20. And you'll get 20% off. Visit 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/LGC and be sure to use the code ALLAN20 to get your 20% discount. Now, we talked about endocrine disruptors, and I've gotten into this before. You know, I remember at work, there was a guy who would come in every day, and he would have a little plastic container with his lunch, and he would put it in the microwave, and he would microwave his lunch. And I wanted to say something, but I just didn't feel like it was my place there to say something to this guy. And so I started trying to avoid BPA. I started saying, you know, I'm not gonna get bisphenol A. I'm not gonna use that. And then now I'm reading when they switched to Bisphenol S, we don't know if that's any better or any worse. It's just, it's different. So it's easy. They can say it's a BPA thing. And then there's phthalates and atrazine and birth control and, you know, phytoestrogen. And then your whole talk about cows and the myriad of reasons why cow's milk could be a problem or is a problem. I'm just fascinated that stuff's out there. And we, you know, particularly like atrazine, you were saying it could, how it affect male frogs. Mm-hmm. Could you go through that story?
Because I think this it's pretty dramatic. Yeah. So for your listeners, atrazine is an herbicide. It's used to kill weeds basically. And it's sprayed on crops here in the US. It's been banned in Europe, but for some reason still allowed here in the US. Thank you, FDA. And it's the second most commonly used herbicide behind glyphosate. So people focus on just glyphosate, but atrazine causes similar issues. And it's sprayed mostly on our corn crops and our wheat crops here in the U.S. So, and especially, you know, if something's non-organic, then it's likely been sprayed with atrazine. And that'll never show up in the ingredient list of your product. So you don't know it's there, but it's definitely there. We have found that atrazine is found in significant levels of our drinking water, and the water tables are contaminated with atrazine because our community, our municipal treatment plants are very poor at filtering out endocrine disruptors such as atrazine and estradiol, birth control, and all these other toxins. So atrazine, you mentioned the frog story, is pretty scary. At very minuscule levels of atrazine, male frogs become female frogs. If they're exposed to atrazine in very small concentrations in the water, they become female and they actually lay eggs. So it's amazing to think about. These male frogs actually become female and they're actually able to actually lay eggs and reproduce, which is insane. The drinking water here in the US has exponentially higher levels of atrazine than those studies in the frogs. And so we know that atrazine causes autoimmune issues. It has been linked with a decrease in testosterone levels without question. It's been linked with cancers and obesity and diabetes. And it's unfortunately not really discussed very much.
And I think the worst of it is that we all have it. Every single one of us is exposed to these on a daily basis. It's in our water, as you mentioned. It's in containers that we're putting our food in. It's in products that we're using to mm-hmm. wash our hair or shave our face or, you know, wash our clothes, you know, keep the static out, you know, make our stuff soft and smell good. All of these are really messing with the way our body's hormones work. So what are some strategies for us to implement where we can at least do something about this, because it's not going to do something, you know, we can't count on the FDA to come around and fix this for us in the short run. And so we have to be proactive. What mm-hmm. are some things we can do?
Yeah. Great question, Alan. So we can look at it from two different angles. First, we can look at it from mitigating or eliminating, if possible, our exposure to these toxins. And then we can look at it from a functional perspective of how do we optimize our body's detox pathways to fight off the exposures that we do encounter. So from the mitigating exposures part, you know, first it's from a food standpoint, focusing on limiting exposure in our foods. That means eating organic. That means eating, grass-fed beef if you are a meat eater. That means focusing on almond milk, cashew milk, nut milks rather than cow milk, because we know all cow milk, you mentioned it, cow milk, these cows are eating the crops, okay, normal milk on the shelf, these cows are eating the crops that are laden with atrazine and phytoestrogens and other chemicals. The cows are given steroid hormones themselves, and then the milk, once harvested, is stored in plastic-lined containers, and the plastic is getting leached into the milk, the phthalates and the BPA. And it's this soup, if you will, of endocrine disruption in that milk. So limiting exposure in your foods by focusing on organic fresh fruits and vegetables, grass-fed animal meat, looking at drinking water. You know, one of the biggest culprits is plastic water bottles. And so I focus on, you know, right here, I know your listeners can't see, but I'm holding a stainless steel water bottle so that every time I drink water, I have this with me and I drink from this rather than ever using a plastic water bottle. Another big one is coffee. I'm a coffee addict, like a lot of people, and K-cups, you know, plastic, when it gets hot, releases these chemicals into your food and drink. So I would avoid K-cups, for example. I would avoid storing your foods in any plastic containers, especially the story you mentioned of heating up food in the microwave in any kind of plastic container as well. It tends to be more when these plastics are hot, when they tend to leach the chemicals. And then you mentioned personal care products like shampoo and soap and laundry detergent and sunscreen and deodorant. You want to really look at the ingredients and choose carefully. I like to recommend a couple apps on your phone that you can use to actually scan barcodes and find out the actual ingredients of your products before you buy them. Because a lot of those personal care products you are putting on yourself, and these chemicals, they get absorbed through your skin very easily. It's called lipophilic, which means they like to get absorbed through the fatty layer of your skin. And so you want to really do everything you can to mitigate exposure. You know, we find it in plastic products, baby toys, plastic containers, chemicals, paint and hoses and garden. I can go on.
Cash register receipts.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah, exactly. You know what's amazing is IV tubing has high levels of phthalates in them. IV tubing, you go to the hospital and you're getting IV fluids and you're actually getting these chemicals in your, it's insane that they're everywhere. So then the other side of it is really optimizing your detox system. And you know, your body has a free radical scavenger system or an antioxidant system where your body is able to kind of detoxify these chemicals. And so we look at things like glutathione and catalase and thyroid auxin and all these other complex pathways that start in your liver to clear these toxins. And so anything we can do to optimize that is going to be valuable. What can you do to optimize that? We could look at, cold therapy, cryotherapy, like, cold showers. We could look at intermittent fasting. We could look at supplements like curcumin or turmeric, supplements like Protandim, which is amazing, has NRF2 activator, NRF1 and 2 activators in it. We can look at supplementing with NAD boosters. You know, NAD is a molecule that is very much needed to improve our redox system, our redox pathways to help clear these toxins. And so making sure that your body has an ample supply of NAD. And so supplementing with NMN, for example, or NAD patches are a great way of doing that as well. And then finally, I'll briefly mention that what I do with my clients is I look at their genetics. And based on your genetic blueprint, we can really understand your body's function and your weak spots or your blind spots of what we need to optimize. So for some people, it may be that their glutathione is susceptible, or maybe they don't have good mitochondrial function, or whatever it may be. And we can specifically target that area for optimization to improve your body's, detox pathways.
Cool. And there's one I didn't want to go on without reminding them. You brought this up. And neither one of us are spokespeople for this company, but you filter your water specifically using charcoal filters to try to get these endocrine disruptors out of our water.
Sure. It's a carbon filter. You're right. It's a carbon block filter. And there are a couple different ways of doing that. I have in the past used a Berkey water filter, and I'm not an affiliate or I have no financial involvement with them at all, but I love their product. It looks like a tea urn, and you can take lake water and put it in this and it'll filter out all the toxins and chemicals and purify it to the point that you can drink it safely. There also is an underwater mount for your sink that you can use that has you want a carbon block filter that will clear out these endocrine disruptors, not reverse osmosis. I actually don't recommend RO typically because it does filter out some minerals that you actually need, like calcium, for example. You filter out too much of the good stuff with RO, and you waste a ton of water as well. but there is an underwater mount that you can use for carbon filter. And then there's also a Kinetico has a good one that we're actually building a house. I'm going to be putting it in that house as a Kinetico, a home system that will filter your entire house's water, again, with a carbon block filter to purify it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we're, I live on an island, and a lot of people here are, they basically have to get their own water from rainwater, and we're told not to drink the city water and stuff like that. So we do some of that. And so, yeah, water filters are pretty ubiquitous here on the islands, because that's you know, when you're dealing with rainwater and trying to drink that, or even the city water in some cases, you just want to be careful.
Sure, sure.
Now, I really haven't talked about peptides on this show. I mean, it's kind of something that I think is, it's starting to go a little bit more mainstream. When I first started hearing about them, you know, I think the term they used was SARMs. And so I started doing a little bit of reading on them there, but I'm not someone who typically brings the type of stuff that's going to move you 2%. If you're not focused on your mindset and your lifestyle and your environment, then, you know, the peptides aren't going to get you there. That's not the secret sauce. But they're very, very interesting, because they're just amino acid chains, but they have some pretty significant effects on our body. If we're doing everything else right, peptides might be something to explore. Could you talk about peptides, what they are and what they do?
Sure. Yeah, peptides are absolutely amazing. And I truly believe that at some point, peptides will replace pharmaceuticals. And I know that's a bold statement, but it's true, because they have amazing capabilities to provide very precise, specific outcomes with very minimal, if any, downside or side effects. So peptides, as you mentioned, are simply chains of amino acids. You know, a protein is just a long chain of amino acids. That's all it is. A peptide is a short protein. Anything under 50 amino acids long is considered a peptide. Anything between 50 and 100 is a polypeptide. Anything over 100 amino acids in length is called a protein. It's that simple. So peptides can provide amazing specific functions, such as we can use peptides to help with metabolism, burning fat, losing weight. We can use peptides for building muscle. We can use peptides to sleep. There are peptides for improved cognitive function and focus and memory and anxiety. There are peptides for improving gut health or musculoskeletal repair or reducing systemic inflammation. There are amazing peptides for men's health, specifically libido and boosting testosterone and actually erectile dysfunction. There are a few peptides that men have actually complained that the erection lasts too long from the peptide. So they may have taken too much. There are peptides for hair loss and for skin rejuvenation. And it goes on and on and on, Alan. So what's amazing about peptides is that you can have very specific functions and, again, very little, if any, downside. You know, the first peptide ever discovered was actually insulin. Insulin is a peptide, and growth hormone is a peptide. So these are naturally occurring signaling molecules in the body that give signals that your body already recognizes. So that's what makes these very unique and different from pharmaceuticals, is that these are natural products that are recognized by your body to provide specific outcomes. Some peptides are given orally, and some peptides are given via a subcutaneous injection. Some peptides are given intranasally, like as a nasal spray as well. So you can also inject peptides into a joint. For example, BPC is a great peptide that's amazing for reducing inflammation either in the gut or in your joints. And BPC can be given orally, which is amazing for gut health, or it can be given subcutaneously for systemic inflammation, or specifically into a joint to help reduce inflammation in the intra-articular space.
Okay.
So that's an example of how, depending on the function you're trying to achieve, different routes of administration.
Okay. Now, if I eat a grass-fed, grass-finished steak, it's a protein, my body's going to break that protein down to usable amino acids. What's preventing the oral peptides from being broken down in a similar fashion?
Yeah, great question. And that's the reason most peptides are not oral. You know, BPC is a great one, and BPC is very helpful to be taken specifically orally if you're trying to improve the gut because that's where it's going to get absorbed and have its function, is specifically in the gut and affect the microbiome. I've had guys who have come in with significant reflux symptoms, irritable bowel symptoms, and chronic gastrointestinal bloating and pain, and among other things, I add BPC, and a month or two later, they forgot they even had any symptoms at all. It's pretty impressive. So you're exactly right that in general, most peptides need to be given either subcutaneously or intranasally, or somehow get systemic other than the gut, because the gut will break those down and they're too big to be absorbed the way they are. And I'll also emphasize briefly, I love what you said, that it's once you do everything else, peptides are great. A lot of guys will come to me for peptides first. And my analogy here is peptides are your dessert. Until you eat your dinner, you don't get peptides. Until you do the heavy lifting and do the right things and, make sure that the male method is being achieved properly, then peptides are not necessarily going to be very helpful.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that comes out of this is, you can go onto websites and they'll sell you peptides. They'll tell you it's MK677 and this is going to help you gain muscle. And, but that's not really the route you really want to go with this. This is self somewhat medicating. I don't want to call it a medicine per se, because when you get it from them, they're saying it's not for human consumption, but that's what your intention is. So how do we go about knowing, well, one, I guess knowing what we need or we could use and then getting it appropriately?
Yeah, great, great point. So as you mentioned, you can find these peptides all over the internet. And the problem with these places, and I'm not going to name any of them to call them out, but they are research chemicals. When you go to these sites that are offering it to the masses, it's a research chemical. And unless it's coming from a compounded pharmacy that have quality assurance, that have good QA documentation of the purity of their products, the safety of their products, you just don't know what you're getting. I've heard amazing stories of people getting these peptides and then sending them off for analysis, and they have nothing like what they're supposed to have and other stuff in there that they shouldn't. And so from a purity standpoint, from a safety standpoint, from a quality assurance perspective, I would never recommend, I wouldn't take it myself unless it comes from a qualified compounding pharmacy. And so that's why you need to get your peptides from a physician like myself or another prescriber who has experience with peptides.
Right. So as we're coming up on November being male health month, when we want to make sure we're more aware of it, I have to ask you the same question I ask all my guests. I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Absolutely. Great question. Number one is sleep. I think that one of the most overlooked aspects of men's health is sleep. And I like to use wearable technology to track. Every client I work with, they have to wear either an Oura ring, a BioStrap, a Garmin watch like I have on here, some way to actually track their data. And what we find is their sleep is awful. And so they may think it's fine, but when you actually track the quality, it's terrible. So I really like to emphasize a couple aspects of sleep hygiene that are very valuable when it comes to, basics of sleep optimization. Number one is consistent sleep schedule. So setting a time that you're going to go to bed, let's say it's 10 o'clock, 10:30, and you go to bed that exact same time every single night, eventually your body's going to get into a good circadian rhythm that is going to help improve the quality of your sleep. And your body senses that your circadian rhythm, your clock genes, they're called, and your period genes, these are genes that regulate your circadian rhythm. They sense this. And so going to bed at the exact same time every day, including the weekends, there's this social jet lag people have where they tend to sleep very poorly during the week and they go, I'll just make it up on the weekend. It just doesn't work like that. Your body does not recover like it needs to by simply adding an extra hour of sleep on Saturday and Sunday. So it's really being consistent about sleep schedule, going to bed and waking up at the exact same time. For 3 hours before you go to bed, you need to turn off every single electronic in your house. No more phones, no more computers, no more laptops, iPads, that sort of thing. Turn off the TV, read a book, use an incandescent light to read a book. And, you know, focus at that time on meditation is great, on some mindfulness techniques before you go to bed as well. But you got to get the blue light that's coming from these electronic devices off of you for 3 hours before bedtime. I would also emphasize that your bedroom should be for two things only.
Preach it.
and one of them is sleep. Yes. You know, a lot of guys I hear the story all the time. A guy I just lay in my bed and work on my laptop for a couple hours before bedtime. Like, worst thing you could do is when you go in bed, it's only for two things. During the day, your body needs sunlight. You need exposure to sunlight. And so especially early in the morning, as early as you can, you want to get out and get your body exposed to at least 15 to 20 minutes of sunlight, especially in the morning, to help with that circadian rhythm. We can also look at things like keeping your bedroom completely dark, keeping it cool, you know, comfortable bedding, get rid of any EMF electronics in your bedroom, such as Wi-Fi, cell phones. There are some advocates for actually turning off the circuit breaker for your bedroom because your outlets are actually releasing EMF, even if nothing is plugged into them. And then the last piece that a lot of people may not have heard about is your diet. So what you're eating at dinner can often have a profound effect on your sleep. So foods that are high in amino acids, foods that have MSG, these foods give you glutamate. Glutamate is an amino acid that is actually an excitatory neurotransmitter. It gets converted in your body to GABA, which is a very relaxing, soothing neurotransmitter. For some people, they can't make that conversion very easily. They have a variant in one of their genes that code for the ability to turn off glutamate. And so for a lot of men, what you're eating at dinner time may actually be affecting the quality of your sleep and the disruption of your sleep. So I recommend that you really try to limit high protein foods, MSG, even grains that may have glutamate in them for, you know, 4 to 5 hours before bedtime as well.
Well, thank you for that. Dr. Gappin, if someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about your book, Male 2.0, where would you like for me to send them?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, they can check out my website. It's drtracygappin.com, and that's drtracygappin.com. And I will offer to your listeners a free copy of my book called Male 2.0, and they could check that out on my website at drtracygappin.com/limitless. And again, free copy, just help with the shipping. Otherwise, the book is free.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Hey, I enjoyed being with you here, Alan. Thanks so much.
All right, Raz. I know this was a kind of a men's health topic, but you know, there's ways to take information away from all these conversations, whether we're talking about menopause, whether we're talking about some men's health issues. There's always something to take away, if nothing else than just knowing that your significant other is going through some stuff and things that we can do to make it better for him or her, or things we can do to take care of our children, because it's not the amount of chemicals that are going to be available in the world are not going down, they're going up. And so that's one of the things I took out of this, was just how serious endocrine disruptors can be. I mean, you're turning a frog from a male to a female. And I'm like, ooh.
That's very serious stuff right there. Yeah. Yeah, it was a light bulb moment for me too.
So I downloaded the Environmental Working Group app. You can find this on iPhone, and I'm pretty sure it's on Android. But I downloaded the app just to see what it was like. And it's actually really, really cool. You just take a picture of the barcode, you know, so it opens up like your camera. So it's going to ask to use your camera. And then you just put the barcode in that little square. And as soon as it reads what it is off that barcode, it tells you everything that's in it. And, you know, you basically can see. And so my wife bought this body wash. She likes the smell of it. It's supposed to have pheromones. I don't know that it's making a difference, but she does like it. So that's that. And it scored in the middle. And I was like, okay. Now, it scored in the middle because of possible allergies. And I'm only really allergic to dumb people and people that lie. I'm not really allergic to anything else. So, you know, that's good. The fragrance that they're using, I'm not allergic to. But, you know, it doesn't have any of those endocrine disruptors, which was good to know. Now, it did have some dyes in it, of course. They want it to be a pretty color. Doesn't have to be, but it is. And so, you know, there are some dyes in there that I'd have to think about. You know, is that really something I want to put on my skin, or is that something I want on someone else's skin in my family? So I thought that was a really cool app to have, and just to kind of go through and look at your household cleaners, look at the things you're putting on your body, you know, this makeup, all of it. It's just, you know, there's things there that you just might not know what you're getting, because cleaners sound like a very easy thing. Just put some soap and some fragrance and let's go. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case. They said they want to make it a pretty color. They want it to, you know, have a certain feel and texture to it, so you feel like you're getting something more than just soap. Mm-hmm. And so there might be more than just soap in your soap.
That's so true. And we don't know about what these chemicals, many of these newer chemicals or compounds, do in the long term either. So it's helpful just to get a little heads up to see what's in things. Just like with the food we eat every day, you just may not know what chemicals are in all of those detergents and soaps and cleaning products. So it sounds like a really neat app.
Yeah, I'm glad I did. And also, I'm going to take a few minutes to find that filter he was talking about, you know, the charcoal filter. It does look like a coffee maker, you know, one of the you have in an office space. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen an office space type of coffee deal where it makes large things of coffee. But I'm going to go find one of those, and I'll put that in the show notes for this episode. So if you do go to the show notes, there'll be some links there. I don't think I can link to the app, the Environmental Working Group app itself, but it's easy enough to find by doing a search. But I will link to that that filter, so you can filter out some of the stuff that might be in your tap water at home.
That's a great idea. He didn't talk about reducing exposure to toxins, and that's the first step, is knowing what we're exposed to. But he also mentioned that being healthy or having a healthy lifestyle can help improve our options after maybe being exposed to some things. He had talked about a lifestyle, how that impacts our genetics, and just because we may be prone to certain things, like he had mentioned the BRCA gene, which is on my radar. If we lived a healthy lifestyle with good food, good nutrition, good exercise, maybe that gene won't be activated.
Yeah. And then the other side of it is you have to think about these things as far as what's the cumulative thing that's going on with your body. Mm-hmm. And so if we're throwing chemicals at our body and we're eating crappy food and we're not getting good sleep and we don't have mm-hmm. good stress management protocols and we're not moving enough, all of those are basically signals to your body. Your information, food is information, movement is information. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it from that perspective, the coding that's there is going to kick off and say, okay, this person doesn't need to be around any longer. Let's go ahead and do these bad things because you know, yeah, they want it. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it's not to say, but you're asking for it, you know, in a mm-hmm. sense. So we know that movement, we know that lifestyle, we know that what we eat, the sleep, all of it impacts our health. And the more that we can do step by step, just little increments, one, cutting out the toxins, two, mm-hmm. you know, looking and getting higher quality food so you're getting the nutrition. I was reading another study today that showed that vitamin D deficiency is a big, big deal with COVID. And so, you know, if you're not getting the requisite sunshine, you know, there's 15, 20 minutes out in the sun with a good bit of your skin exposed. So you're getting some sun, you're getting some vitamin D. If you can't get it, then consider supplementation. But if you're not getting your vitamin D, you're putting yourself at risk for complications from COVID that would mm-hmm. be worse than it would otherwise be. So again, these things are cumulative about our lifestyle, and there are things you can do today to improve all of it, to give your body a fighting chance, just little incremental things.
Yeah, it all adds up. Just these little steps really do make a difference in the long run.
All right. So we challenged ourselves to start helping you come up with a keto Thanksgiving, hopefully can roll into maybe even a keto Christmas by giving you a few recipes. And The recipe I'm going to bring on is not so much a recipe as a style of a way of getting something done. The turkey is the hallmark for most people to have. Now, if you really want to go keto, then I'd say go with ham. Ham is going to be more keto than a turkey. But if turkey's the thing, which for us Thanksgiving is definitely, for me, it's the thing. I love cooking the Thanksgiving turkey. It's a gift I do for the family for Thanksgiving every year. And we're going to have to do it a little early this year because of COVID. We're having to change our travel, but I'm still going to cook a turkey for my family about a week early. But anyway, here's how you do it. It's pretty simple. Go find a good quality turkey. You know, get an organic, humanely raised, pastured turkey, you know, just wild out there turkey. Better if you can hunt for it, you know. I don't know. I think they have turkeys up there in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Mike can go get you one. I hear they're the hardest thing to hunt. But you get a good quality turkey. Okay, that's the first bit. Second bit is that I'm going to tell you to cook it the exact opposite way everybody else tells you to cook it. Okay. You don't want to put it on a rack. You want to put it down in the pan and you want to put it breast down. Okay. Everybody else cooks their turkey breast up. And that's why the breast meat gets really, really dry, because the moisture falls down and it falls out of the breast. What you want to do is flip the script on this and cook it for the first bit breast down. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do with my turkey is I'm going to wash it off real good. I'm going to pull the giblets out. I'm just going to lay them down in the pan. Okay. Those are a treat for me about 3 hours from now. Okay. I'm going to preheat the oven to 325. So the oven's warming up. I clean the turkey out, got it ready. Sometimes they stuff the giblets in the neck space and the neck in the bottom space. And I don't know why that juxtaposition that's backwards from where it came from. Maybe you know. If someone knows why they do giblets the way they do, message me. Let me know how that happens. But anyway, you clean out all that stuff. And then I'm basically going to take a complete stick of butter and I'm going to put it in the cavity. I'm going to take a cup of chicken broth. I'm going to put that in the cavity. I'm going to dice up some celery. I'm going to dice up some mushrooms. And I'm going to dice up some onions. And I'm going to put that all in the cavity. Okay? Mm-hmm. Close the legs up. They usually don't have some kind of little strap. If they don't, just use some string and tie the legs back together at the bottom so that it kind of stays closed. Oh, I forgot one thing. Oh, I forgot almost the most important thing. There's two things. Okay. I guess I forgot. One is a beer, a dark beer. So get yourself a dark beer. You know, if you can find a dark beer and you pour that in there along with everything else, and then you want to put some spice in there. And what I usually use is I use Tony Sacheres. It's a Cajun spice. You can usually find it just about anywhere. I've never had trouble finding it. If you can't find that, just get a Cajun spice. And you want to put a good bit of Cajun spice in the center. Okay. So now all that's in there. It's bubbled around. The spice is in there. The beer's in there. The butter's in there. And then you just, like I say, close the legs up and you lay it breast down in your baking pan, in a pan, deep pan. Make sure it's deep. So because the moisture is going to come out and your breast is literally going to sit in that moisture as it cooks. Cover it all up with tin foil and put it in the oven. Now, depending on the size of your turkey, what you want to do is cook the turkey until it has like an internal temperature of about 165, maybe just a little bit more. Okay. And that can take anywhere from 3 to 4 hours for most of the turkeys that you're going to buy. Get it to about 165 internal temperature. Once it gets to 165, pull it out and carefully turn the turkey over. I always make a mess doing this, but you turn the turkey over and then you carefully peel, you know, so you peel all the tin foil away, you carefully turn the turkey over and you put it back in the oven and you let it go for probably about another half hour to 45 minutes till you get an internal temperature of 185. You always want to cook any kind of poultry, chicken or turkey, you want to get it to internal temperature of 165. That's when it's done. 185. So once you get it to 185, you're done. You pull it out. Now, when I do the turnover, I talked about the giblets. That's when I go fish them out and I put them on a plate And I put the turkey back in and I go sit and watch football and I eat.
Nice.
Nobody else wants them. I love them. No. So I sit there and just eat them. And everybody's like, what are you eating? I'm like, turkey. Like, you started the turkey. I'm like, yep, but not the kind of turkey you wanted, but the kind I wanted. And so that's my little treat to myself when I'm cooking the turkey, is to have the giblets while I'm watching it and waiting for that last, you know, half hour to 45 minutes for the turkey to come out. And so that's it. What you've done with the drippings and all that, you can use it in something else, a gravy or something. But it basically, because the turkey cooked almost all the way through with the breast down in that moisture, it retains the moisture and you'll have a very juicy breast meat bird. And it was butter and other stuff that was drifting down through there. So it just adds a little bit more fat. Not a lot, because you only put one stick for the whole turkey, but there's just a little bit more fat there than you would have otherwise had. So that's the turkey.
It sounds delicious. It sounds awesome.
And it because you cooked it breast down, it might not be as pretty as Martha Stewart. But it's still going to have that golden brown. It's still going to look nice enough. And it's the taste. You're going to slice it and eat it anyway. So that's my recipe for Thanksgiving, how to make your turkey a little bit more keto-fied.
Oh, that sounds so good. Well, you can't have turkey without mashed potatoes. Am I right?
Yes.
Except for if you're keto, potatoes are not part of your day-to-day or normal diet. So I have a creamy mash cauliflower recipe that I got from the Keto Connect. Matt and Mega are great cooks, and I have tried this recipe several times, and I've modified it to different tastes. But yes, you can turn cauliflower into basically a replacement for mashed potatoes. You just boil the cauliflower to get them soft, you drain them, you put them in a food processor, and you process them until you get them to the creamier consistency that you like. And then the Keto Connect recipe suggests adding heavy whipping cream, butter, garlic, rosemary, Parmesan cheese, and salt and pepper to taste to the recipe. But the great thing about potatoes or mashed potatoes is that you could do it however you want. So if you want more garlic, add that. If you want more butter, I've made mashed potatoes with cauliflower with Parmesan and garlic, which is wonderful. But I've also used cheddar cheese and bacon bits to make it a little bit more like a baked potato kind of a meal. So it's just a really wonderful creative recipe that you can modify to suit whatever tastes of the people that you have coming to your party, so, or your Thanksgiving dinner. So it's a nice recipe, very easy, doesn't take much time, and you can absolutely practice it in advance to get it to the way you like it. But I'll send you the Keto Connect version of the recipe, and then your listeners can try and modify it to their own tastes.
Okay. Did that come with a gravy of any sort, or have you tried any keto gravies?
It does come with a gravy. I have not made the Keto Connects version of it, but what Mike and I have done in the past is with all those wonderful juices that you get off of your turkey, we just add a little bit of xanthan gum to kind of thicken it up a little bit, and that's just perfect the way it is. But you can absolutely modify that again with adding more rosemary or other fall spices to get it the flavor you like.
Okay, and you'll have plenty of drippings. That's one of the things when you're cooking the turkey the way that I cook the turkey. There's a lot of fluid in the pan when you're done. So you'll have tons of drippings that you can use for gravy this time, and or you can freeze some of it. And when you want to have that going on later, then yeah, just mixing in some xanthan gum, which is fairly innocuous. You know, it's not not something, but it's not something mm-hmm. you really have to be that concerned about. So perfect. Well, thanks, Rachel.
Sure.
Next week, we'll be sure at the end, stick around to the end, and we'll be sure to have another recipe for a keto-fied Thanksgiving. Thank you. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Miles Spahr and answer the question, what are peptides and what can they do for you? Until then, have a happy and healthy week.